grow his legs.
You should go work out a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Get a little bit more muscle on your legs, boy.
Go grow some legs, you pansy.
Sounds like someone's not quite a man yet until his legs look muscular. Someone looks a little too top heavy. There you are.
Oh God, who the hell are you talking about now?
No one.
What?
Yeah, I'm sure. Ugh, okay. Sorry, I wasn't wearing any pants, so I didn't want to get
Ew.
up and flash anybody. Anyway,
Weirdly, the ratings go up and down.
just like AIDS pants.
Whoop,
I'm wearing a long shirt, so but just in case.
Yeah.
I
I
didn't
like
want
it.
Mikey to have a coronary. Anyway.
How dare you? That month is over. We don't need to revisit
Oh yeah, that's true. Thank God.
coronaries.
Okay. Well, so I figured I'd host this one since I picked it. And
Okay, good.
then everyone else who chose their film can host their movie.
When it does get chosen eventually, but I
Yes.
will leave that unnamed person.
It's only three of us. There's no way that no one knows. It's definitely me, guys. That's what they're both trying to get around.
You heard it
Well,
here. Lance said Doug and Jason are off the
Oh my
podcast.
gosh, they are not off
That's
the
what he said.
podcast.
He said it's us three. Could have been anybody.
By the way, I need to text Jason and make sure he's okay because now I'm worried. Like we haven't heard from him in so long. Well, did he talk on the chat today?
I thought
Who
he
knows?
chimed in yesterday.
Did he get his chips? I usually hear from Jason first every day, so now I'm getting nervous. Y'all, like we literally, and I don't know, like I guess this is probably gonna go on the episode, I'm sure, because Mikey doesn't take anything out. But we literally, all of us legitimately have a
Except all the
chat at
you say.
oh, okay. So we legitimately in the chat talk to each other all day long about nothing. Like literally legitimately like just bullshit.
Is it nothing?
It depends
Oh,
who's
please.
talking.
You're asleep half the day and then you chime in for 2 seconds, Lance. Don't even go there.
He was up early this
Facts.
morning.
I was up this early.
I know, because somebody had to go do their taxes. We all heard about it.
Think the most adult thing I did all day today, to be honest
I
with
like how you have to go get help to your taxes, Lance. You
Oh,
have one
no, this is
job.
definitely like a mom thing. Oh, God. I don't even want to go into that route of horribleness that happened today.
But yes, we all talk all day. And so when one of us goes AWOL, it's like, did you die? Like, did you get new friends? Where did you go?
I think he chimed in for Olivia
He
about
did. Oh,
that.
yeah, he did.
He
He
did.
wished
He
her
did.
well. My little Olivia is sick, everybody. Nothing serious. Remember that one time I got in a car accident and I was like, I'm in a car accident, sorry. And then I like ghosted everybody for like 2 hours.
Oh my God. I think I called you. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck happened? It was
You
just
were
insane.
worried. It was so cute.
Well, of course I was worried. I love all of you. Like, I'd be very upset if somebody just fell off the wagon and we didn't see you. So,
Wait, you
I don't
started
know.
drinking again? Fall off the wagon means.
It's
Well,
like, don't we all drink?
yeah.
It's like, there was no wagon to be falling off of because we
Yeah.
were all on
No
it.
one's trying to get off the wagon. Or no one's
Yeah.
trying to get back
Wait,
on the
we're trying to
wagon.
get on the
Yeah, maybe.
wagon. I was
Yeah.
going to say, I'm like, I think you're saying this backwards, but
Yeah.
whatever. Anyways,
That's how you know we're
so,
all drunk now.
well, it's fine because we're going to have a good time when we get to California. I'm very excited.
Oh,
So,
yeah, we're
woo
going to be in person live and nude in February at the end of the month. So maybe
woo.
we'll make content. Who knows? Because it
I
depends how
hope we
much
do.
time we have because we are making a film.
Yo.
Yeah, so we'll definitely be plugging how you guys could support that film at the end of the episode. So stay
Yes,
tuned.
please.
And we will also be posting it in the episode description when it is posted, which will be our first February episode. So that's exciting. Happy, thank God, because I feel like January, I don't know how y'all feel, but January lasted like 7 years, it feels like. So I'm finally happy
Yeah,
that it
January
is over.
definitely overstayed its welcome.
She's happy she's in the shortest month of the year.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, leap year this year. So we do have an extra day.
Yeah. And did you
Oh.
see that leap year? It's leap year. And last leap year, it was Donald Trump versus Biden. This year, it's Donald Trump versus Biden. Last year, the same people that were playing at the Super Bowl are playing again this year. So a lot of similarities.
We'll see what happens. I don't even want to get into the nonsense that is probably going to befall us this election year.
Also, so. I'm kind of impressed that Mikey knows who's playing in the Super Bowl.
I didn't. I said the people. I know it's the same people, but I don't know who they are.
I don't really know who it is either. I only know because of, I'm not even going to say her name because I don't need her metadata.
M. Night Shyamalan, yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan's wife is playing in the Super Bowl. And then...
Yeah!
Is it the Green Bay Packers?
I don't know.
The Green Bay Fudge Packers? No, it's...
They wear red.
They're both red teams. San Francisco 69ers and Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yay, Super
I
Bowl.
I wish they were called the 69ers, just for everyone out there. Actually, no sports.
Oh, it's not the 69ers? What is
it? Of course. You know what? Actually, yes, it is. Next time you say that to anyone, make sure you at least say they're the 69ers.
It's okay. The 49ers. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's the 49th state. Is California the 49th state? Probably. I lied. California is the 31st state. We just like to educate people before we actually get into the movie.
Yes, we do.
Technically, we like to give you the wrong information and let you be the one to judge.
Ew, well, the Florida flag is ugly. Go ahead.
I know. There's that. Okay, what do you want me to do?
Why are you coming after
that?
Us, Mikey?
Yeah, don't be coming because Florida's coming to California. We apologize in advance for what is about to happen.
There's a lot of California and Texan people out in California.
What?
Well,
I said there's a lot of Texas and California people, or not California, I'm sorry, Florida people out in California.
Okay, that makes more sense than what you said before.
Yeah, you know, drinking.
No.
But y'all's flag is disgusting and it looks racist, but go ahead.
Well, it is Florida, so I wouldn't be surprised. Anyway.
Any symbol with an X on it, especially a red X, doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, but it's in the background. We got the little circle and all the stuff in the circle.
It's in the background.
Yeah, it looks like it's a picture of Cuba on the seal.
The Cubans come here first. What do you want from us, Mikey? My God. Now you hate the Cubans? Anything else?
It's a woman of some ethnic background that I am not familiar with throwing hibiscus flowers in the water, a palm tree, and a boat. And behind it, her is a big red X. So I'm not the one with the problem with the lady, apparently. It's whoever's putting this X on the same flag as her. X, gonna give it to you.
So with that, let's go ahead and get started.
1, 2, 3, 4, blah, 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 blah.
You make me
we lost the license. I'm gonna have to sing it. I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right.
It'd be great if we did.
This is Slashers, your new favorite podcast about your new and old favorite horror media. My name is Aid, and with me as always are my esteemed colleagues, co-hosts, and cohorts, my boo-boo Mikey.
Hi, everybody.
And what?
Oh my God. And Lance.
Hi.
Okay. And we bring you this month our Feb session, our steamy, sexy month of February. We decided that we were going to have the, what is it called? I totally wrote it down earlier today, goodness. Mikey. I'm sorry. Hang on. Well, no, there's a fire truck in the background. It like totally derailed me.
Interesting. I don't hear it. It was supposed to be Feb session, a month of pink hearts and blood red, or red blood.
Yes. Feb session, pink hearts, and red blood. So what better way to celebrate Feb session than by talking about these twisted love tales that often befall some of our favorite horror films.
Yes. And then whatever Lance chooses.
I know. And Lance, I love you, but the choice that you chose.
I'm going to watch it and then see if I really want to pick it or not. But here's the thing is, love comes in all different ways, folks. Doesn't matter if it's of this earth or not of this earth. Yeah, I'm love is love. Love is love.
Okay.
Okay, Lance.
Anyway, having said that, so I thought that we'd kick off this month with one of my favorite twisted tales, and that is Crimson Peak. So I'm really excited about this one today. But before we get started, I know that, you know, last month we dragged y'all through the bowels of the cornfields And we're very sorry. I'd like to apologize on behalf of Slasher's podcast and everybody involved with the show.
We're not sorry.
Lance is not sorry. I am sorry. Kevin, if you're still watching, I'm very sorry. And actually, I was talking to Kevin through the Slasher's page the other day because he's like, well, I'm on this number right now. Part two is really good. I loved it. He loved part three. And then I did crickets after part three. So I'm pretty sure he's like, fuck these people.
Can we get a welfare check on Kevin, please?
Poor Kevin. So there's that. And then, so I'm really excited about this month. It's a short, well, no, we have leap year this month, but February is our shortest month because we know that January lasts 97 years. And I'm happy to finally be out of that rut. And in a few short months, we'll be back to the sun setting later in the day. So I don't feel like I'm sitting in hell, you know, at 4 p.m. I don't know what you guys think. And if you guys want to let us know in the comments or message us or send us an email, let us know what are some of your favorite horror movies that sort of have like a twisted love story in it that's like kind of fun, kind of crazy, that kind of ends terribly, or, you know, maybe it ends nicely. I don't know. I always think of Carrie when I think of love movies, because it is kind of a love story until it's not, right? So, and then I feel like if Doug was available more, that he would probably pick Fear.
Is that what is with like Johnny Wahlberg?
Mark Wahlberg?
I know, I like to say Johnny Wahlberg.
I'm sorry for those of you, I'd like to apologize for Lance, even though he's their age, it is Donnie Wahlberg, not Johnny.
Yeah, I know who that is.
I just don't think the joke landed. What were you trying to do?
It was no joke. It's just I said it wrong.
Oh, so you messed up.
Call me out, assholes.
Okay. Well, I just don't. I was confused. I wanted to make sure that you got your punchline, but it doesn't seem like there was one.
There's no punchline. So it's you know,
that's interesting.
Sometimes you say it and then you fall.
Yeah, sorry, Mikey. Why did that movie make you paranoid?
Oh, that movie gave me anxiety about dating people because I already have anxiety. And even though I'm big and muscular and I play football and I can kick the shit out of you, I'm actually very submissive and I can get easily taken advantage of. But I just had a fear that if I ever had to break up with someone, they would like go psycho. And I lived with my family when I was a young adult. So I was like, I don't need someone trying to start shit over here and like decapitating my dog. And
yeah, that's the worst part because everybody always thinks of the roller coaster scene, which I do. And I think that's more of a coming of age movie because I think I watched that movie too young.
On a roller coaster.
Like, oh, yeah. I'm like, what's he doing?
Coming of
like,
age.
What is happening? Oh, yeah.
That was also with Weeth Witherspoon, right? Weeth Witherspoon?
Is that another show?
Mikey, you have to cut that out.
No.
Reese Witherspoon. Jesus.
Christmas is over. I thought you were doing a Christmas pun with Reese Witherspoon. But no, it was just your lisp.
I know. All of a sudden, Lance is Spaniard, so he's got the Barcelona accent. Okay. So, you know, I decided I wanted to do Crimson Peak because it's one of my
favorite. You didn't let me say my movies?
Oh, just kidding. All right. Cut that out. Mikey.
I'm not cutting anything out. Stop asking. I will cut out what I feel is necessary. If anything, people are just going to hear how much I don't listen to you.
Okay.
The movies that I wanted to choose, but I was like, maybe later. And actually, I was thinking about doing them for like Women's Month March or Women's March. I love the, I forgot what they're called, but those girls that go crazy. Have you seen Devil in the Flesh?
No.
With Rose McGowan.
Ooh.
Crush with Alicia Peak Silverstone. Interest.
Love Crush.
Yeah. Those movies where it's like the girl likes, it's like reverse Fear, but you know, not scary because they're women. Yeah, I love those movies. And then another movie that I wanted to pick for this month, but I was like, no, not right now. Have you seen Zombie Honeymoon?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
It's like kind of funny, but it's basically like guy and a girl on their honeymoon and the girl gets bitten by a zombie and it's like her like changing into a zombie. But the ending is actually really sad.
Oh, I think I saw a trailer for that actually.
Yeah.
It looked fun.
It was a while ago. But you know, these movies kind of fit into what's coming out soon with Lisa Frankenstein.
Yeah, and that's why I sort of wanted to touch base on this theme this month, because it is the month of love. As we all know, Valentine's Day is February 14th. We've already done an episode on the initial Valentine's Day and the reboot, which I guess is technically a sequel. Jake and Brian did it back in the day before Mike and I joined the show. So
My Bloody Valentine?
Yeah, My Bloody Valentine. And so we're not going to do those again, obviously, which I love My Bloody Valentine. I think it's a great 80s slasher. It's very like nihilistic in certain ways. Like, it is brutal. It's a fun slasher, and kind of sad that we don't have any more, you know, sequels to it, because I think that would have been a really good franchise moving forward.
What was the Cupid one, right? Isn't that too?
Cupid. Oh, you mean Valentine's.
Yeah, Valentine with David Boreanaz.
Yeah. There's another Valentine's horror movie called Cupid about, I think it's like a killer cherub. One of like the cheesy ones. So I thought that's what
you're talking about. Yeah. I was like, I feel like there's a couple in that little area where it's like you're like, the baby face.
Yeah. I think there's better horror that sort of encapsulates, you know, the theme that we're going with this month, which is like a obsession. Like, you have an obsession with somebody, you can love somebody, but you can also be obsessed with them, which I think Fear does do a good job of that. However, I really don't want to deal with that movie. I'm not picking it. So if Lance decides that he's, you know, up against the wall and he picks Fear, I'm going to be very annoyed.
Have you seen the movie that I picked next?
Well, did you put it in the folder?
I don't mess with that. I put it in our text message.
I know. I saw the text message.
Perfect. Therefore, then you know what movie I'm talking about.
What? Okay. Am I allowed to say it on the episode, or is it a surprise?
I don't know. I guess we can say it.
Watcher. Is it Watcher? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that the one with Mika Monroe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I've been wanting to watch it. So it'll be a good reason for me to watch it now. So I'm excited about that.
I like how Mikey's bravely prefacing the fact that, yeah, if you think Fear's bad, prepare yourself.
I'm excited to hear. Have you seen it, Lance?
I have not. So, like, the fact that you're saying this right now, I just see her going, nope, nope, nope. Oh, God, why? Nope, nope, nope. The whole movie.
It's just so good. But we're not talking about Fear. That Watcher today. We're talking about
Crimson Peaks. So, Crimson Peak was something I remember when I started to see articles from Bloody Disgusting and pictures of the film when it was coming out. And so, Crimson Peak has joined us in 2015. So this is a good almost 10 years old now at this point. And comes out in October 16, 2015, budget of $55 million. It was a project that Guillermo del Toro wrote and directed. And he actually had the idea for it since he started Pan's Labyrinth in 2006. So the film doesn't even get, you know, like made until almost 10 years after he decides to write this film. And he actually got inspired by writing it because, well, I guess when he was filming, which movie was he filming? He was filming a movie in New Zealand and they were staying at a haunted house. And I can't remember which one. I wrote it down in my notes somewhere, but of course now I can't find it. But it was actually
Lord of the
like,
Rings?
I think it was Lord of the Rings. Oh, thank you. Oh God, I forgot. Lance knows things. Okay. Yay.
It was like New Zealand. It couldn't have been far-fetched from that or The Hobbit. And I don't think it was The Hobbit because it came out way
later. Well, I was going to say Housebound, but did Guillermo del Toro
do Housebound? Yeah. He was part of, didn't he have, what did he have to do with Lord of the Rings? I forget.
Was it like the creature design or something?
He worked on The Hobbit. Yeah. Well, whatever.
He didn't direct Lord of the Rings.
I'm pretty sure he did.
No, not the Lord of the Rings. He did not.
All three of them, I'm pretty sure of it.
Oh my God. Guillermo, I'm a friend of the podcast.
Peter Jackson did Lord of the
Rings. Oh yeah, it is Peter Jackson.
Yeah, Peter Jackson. Have you lost your mind, Lance? Oh my God.
Peter Jackson and them, like, pretty much are the same people to me.
Wow. They're not even the same ethnicity. Guillermo del Toro's from Mexico. Peter Jackson's from New
Zealand.
Don't
let everybody fool you, ladies and gentlemen. Lance is Hispanic, but he is passing. So
well, that's old and passing. Listen, folks.
Mm-hmm. Passing that white cloth through his system, that's for sure.
It's actually truly. But who's paying attention? Anyways, So I want to say it was during the Hobbit films. I thought I wrote it down. I can't
or
find
it was,
it.
Could
in
be
my notes
Hellboy.
now. Or Hellboy. Yeah. He sold it. So quietly, he sold it to Don Langley at Universal. So this is where I'm just speculating when I say these things. So initially with the film, so it is a Universal picture. And initially with the film, he was supposed to have Benedict Cumberbatch play Thomas Sharp's role. And he was supposed to have Emma Stone play Edith Cushing's role.
Ew.
And that's what I said. I'm like, ew to both of that. That would have been just a very, listen, the ghosts are scary enough, but having the two of them in a film together, I just don't think is going
Does
to
he
work.
Just like bland looking white men?
I guess. I mean, I do. Sometimes Benedict Cumberbatch looks good. He's got beautiful eyes. But there is still speculation as to why he left. Like, he was already signed on. He visited the set and then he decided to leave and leave the picture.
Pussy.
So, and
I really
he,
wonder what he did though after that.
I don't know, because when people ask him to comment on it, he always says, ask Del Toro, he knows. Oh. And Guillermo always says, I don't know. I mean, they continue on to say that there's no bad blood between them. And blah, blah, blah. And maybe there's not. And maybe we found out the reason. I just didn't find out the reason, because I'm like, you know what? This is chisme, and he didn't get into the fucking movie. Tom Hiddleston did, which they are good friends. You know, they're both UK people.
And Marvel folks.
And Marvel people as well. So Tom Hiddleston is Loki. And obviously we know Benedict Cumberbatch is Doctor Strange. And the only reason I mention those things is because I would like that Marvel metadata for this episode. And so, well, also, is Hellboy Marvel?
No.
Maybe.
Okay, thank you. I was looking at Lance because I assumed that you would know that, and you did not respond quick enough. Thank you. Okay, so I need your help with this crap, because I don't, obviously, I'm not.
She has no idea about comic book stuff, so I'm pretty much like that person for that.
I know, we had to have somebody who had some knowledge of something, right? So,
and we chose Lance. How desperate were we?
Mikey knows some stuff. Don't let him try to pretend. He does.
Unless, you know, Mikey only knows like the fancy stuff.
I only know slutty stuff.
Exactly. Well, I was going to say
hack and slash.
Yeah.
Oh God.
The vagina only goes 9 inches deep.
Yeah.
Okay. True. So the tagline, and how fitting that the tagline of the film is
9 inches deep. Oh.
I wish. So how about that Tom Hiddleston butt shot there? I had to Google that.
I was waiting for it.
Was it a body double?
Like, no, it wasn't. It was his butt.
I had a bet of figuring out which one of you would have brought up the butt shot. Just throwing it out there.
Well, I was very interested in that scene.
Well, technically, I figured his butt was pretty flat, so there was no way you were going to say anything about his ass. So I knew it would be her. That's pretty much how that rolled.
We all know that I have never been averse to the gringo, so I don't understand what the problem is. Okay, like, come on.
I'm used to some flat asses.
He had a very smooth white butt, but whatever. Anyways,
I don't understand the appeal. Everybody creams their panties about him over Loki, and I'm like,
he's a sexy bad boy. I think he's so fine. Oh my God.
Okay.
Like, he's so, there's something like so, like, twisted and dark about him, and he does such a good job with what doesn't matter. Anyways, we're not talking about Loki. So, anyway, so visually, so I mean, first impressions of this film, I think I was really excited about it. I couldn't wait to see it. I love the cast, and specifically, I love the cast not for Hiddleston or Mia Wasikowska, I was for Jessica Chastain. So Guillermo del Toro worked with Jessica Chastain, as all of us should probably know, when he produced Mama. And she was actually signed on. He wanted her to play Edith's role in Crimson Peak. So when Jessica Chastain reads the script, she thought that playing Lucille Sharp, the titular sister of Thomas Sharp, would be a more engaging, more challenging role for her. And might I say, she is fucking horrifying. She is so captivating and terrifying to watch at the same time. Like, I honestly feel like Jessica Chastain is a treasure and we should appreciate her more. Like, why? I mean, I know that she does a lot of different roles and she's doing very well. I follow her on Instagram. She does get nominated for awards and things of that nature. But in this particular role, my God, she's horrifying. And she's such a crazy fucking bitch, for lack of a better term. But I only say that because I'm endeared to that, because I feel like she is what she is and she takes charge of it. And I'm just so like honestly, just watching her and how she is and that she's so unapologetic about who she is as a character. It is just, I don't know. But the movie itself is so beautifully shot, like this gothic horror tale. And Guillermo del Toro always says that this isn't just, and it's sort of meta in a way too, because, you know, Edith's character is also writing a story. And basically she's saying it's not a ghost story. It's just a story with a ghost in it. And this is what we have here. So I don't know what you two think of that, but Mikey, you what do you think meta? Of it?
Well,
no, because Edith is writing the same thing inside of the film. She's writing a story. Hence I know that you meta. Weren't paying attention because she's a
no,
woman.
I'm just saying, but I'm saying as in the fact that it's meta in the sense that she's writing something that happens to have a ghost in the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Hence is the it, word meta.
But that.
What is the terminology of meta?
Lance, I know, but I didn't need a definition of that for the episode, okay? Oh my god.
Oh my god, Lance.
Mikey, what do you think? What do you think of the like first impressions of the film?
Honestly, first impressions of this film, I've never seen it before today. I never wanted to see it because I was under the impression that it was just like Pan's Labyrinth, which like Pan's Labyrinth was cool, but it wasn't really a horror movie to me. It's one of those like, oh, the real horror is the human. I don't care. Like, miss me with that shit. And so I don't remember how it happened, but somehow, I don't know if it was in the commercial, but I knew that basically Tom Hiddleston was, or the people were the evil and the ghost was trying to help her. I don't remember where I heard that from, but I learned that pretty early on without watching it. And so I was just like, no interest. And Guillermo del Toro happens to make a habit of making quote unquote horror movies that it's like, just kidding, the ghosts are the good people, or like, it's not really a horror movie. Like, I watched, what's the one, Orphanado, I believe. No, Devil's Backbone. I watched Devil's Backbone with Austin for Frightmares, and I was like, lame. So wasn't too thrilled, but when it first came out, but over time I've been like, you know what, I do want to watch it, it looks pretty, and then you picking it for this month was an excuse for me to watch it, and I did.
Okay, and Lance, I'm afraid to ask you because I don't know what
to say. No, I always think Totoro, like, he always does a really beautiful job of like cinematic kind of capturing a picture of certain things, like the snow and the kind of like whatever, what is it, the red mud, I guess technically a red clay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I think that's always, he does a really beautiful job. I thought the hole in the roof of the a beautiful thing, you know what I mean, kind of a beautiful building, but you have the snow slowly falling in, so it's like this beautiful creature that has issues, you know what I mean. The whole building itself is kind of its own personality kind of deal, because it's, you know, where it's at and everything like that. I think he's always been really good at, you know, capturing a really beautiful setting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the storylines don't always fall suit to certain things. You know, it just in this type deals, I think it was more of a like, the storyline's great and everything like that, and like you have the mother situation where she warns the daughter initially, you know, after she dies, she has like a tragic kind of like moment with her. I think it's a precursor, obviously, like that. There wasn't a lot of like shocking, oh my god, this is gonna happen later on. It was all pretty much kind of laid out a little bit in the beginning. You know, you're like, watch out for this, you know, and then later on the story kind of pops up, and then you're like, oh, I guess that's what the danger was that she needs to worry about, you know, and then the ghost comes back. The father scene was probably like the best scene, where he's getting his head smashed in.
Yeah, that was gross. Good, gnarly.
Yeah, but very, very gnarly. It's like you actually see it in cave, and that's probably one of the best scenes I've seen of somebody actually getting their head crushed in like that. Like, and it looked realistically probably as close as you could imagine it happening in front of you. I think that was kind of a thing. Yeah, again, he's always never had an issue with how it looks. I think the storyline was a little less than it should have been, but in general, it was good.
Let's just touch on some of the things that obviously we know that the cinematography, the way that the film is shot, the gothic tale, the entire home itself. So the house was actually built the, you know, the Thomas Sharp, the mansion or whatever, is actually built on set, and they built the entire thing. And so when you walk in, and like, there's a huge contrast. And this is a huge, like, I feel like Del Toro deliberately did all of these little things. When you're watching the film, at the beginning, you see Edith, and she's in the snow, and it's like this gray overlay, and she's bleeding, and we don't know what's happened. And then we, you know, we circle back to Buffalo, New York, and we see her, and it's like upbeat, and she's ready to publish her novel, and she's a woman of the late 1800s. I think, no, early 1900s, like 1904. I think it was like 1904 or something when she was running around. Anyway, so she was in Buffalo, New York, and she's trying to get her novel published. And she runs into Charlie Hunnam, who, by the way, is adorable in this movie as well. And if you don't know who he is, I know he's like some big thing in Sons of Anarchy. I've never seen it. Yes, that's what Lance is saying. And I'm like, who the fuck is that? But okay, I was thinking of Mortal Kombat Jax, but whatever. But I've seen Charlie Hunnam in a lot of other things. Like, I never watched that, so I'm sure it's good. I'm sure I'd like it. I'm sure I'd be in love with him if I watched it, whatever. Anyways, so, oh, no. I love him in Green Street Hooligan. So if y'all have not seen that movie, it's probably one of my favorite soccer movies, and it is not a soccer movie. So,
wow. You literally said two
football.
Things that are horrible to
football. It's
How,
football.
Are you sure you're Spanish? Talk about
I'm not
me passing.
Spanish. I'm Puerto Rican. There's a difference there. So anyways.
Yeah,
he doesn't get that Spanish and Puerto Rican are separate countries.
Are
like, we? You know,
we're pretty much the same people.
No, we are different.
You're
different.
True.
Yeah, one's the colonizer, the other one is the colonized. Ow.
I know. Pretty much, but that's okay.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, so I just think that when I was doing my research, visually he wanted the film to look like a Mario Bava Technicolor film. And you can see that in a lot of nuances and the different colors and the contrast, because when we're in Buffalo, it's very like a bright, like warm colors. And then once we get to the UK, so they're outside of, where are they outside of? I don't remember them saying this, and I can't remember it now, but they're in some little podunk ass place in England. And I'm sorry if you're from England, I'm not trying to upset you. And like, she's completely isolated, so you can feel the isolation first and foremost. But Lance made a good point that the house does have a heartbeat. And we know this because once she enters, and even the red clay is still seeping up from the basement, like the house is sinking and slowly falling apart. But you hear the house the entire film. It's always, and you hear like Jessica Chastain as Lucille, she said, oh, that noise is so ghastly, like that ghastly noise, because the wind is constantly going through the open spaces of the home and creating this like, ooh, noise. So, you know, you never really know throughout the film if it's the wind itself or if it is the entities that are there, because several women have been murdered in this building. And the reason being is because there obviously is a scandal going on. We learned this from the beginning of the film, which is why Mia Wasikowska, or Edith's father, is murdered, because he discovers that Thomas and Lucille are holding a secret. They have a secret. And so they're only in Buffalo because Thomas needs funding for his clay machine, but they also want to procure a wife that can actually give them funds to finish, or like basically keep these aristocrats like in, you know, their status, right? Because they're baronets. And so this is actually a real thing. I don't want to do a history lesson for all of you, but we all know that I've been reading about female suffrages of the 1800s in England. And if you don't know that, that's what I read, because I don't read horror. I don't know why, because I'm crazy, clearly. And basically back in that day, a lot of the earls and the dukes and stuff, like all of these, and there's different cases of these people in England. They were running out of money, basically were broke as shit, and they had to turn to new money. And so what they would do is they would look to America, because, you know, America was thriving at the time. So at the time, you know, working off your bootstraps or whatever, that was like a thing. And that actually worked back then, because they weren't in a recession. And so like, they would go and like make offers to the daughters, and just they would make, and so the Americans would marry their daughters off to these people, often in the UK, just so that they could get the title and feel like the sense of entitlement and feel special. And then in turn, the people in UK who needed the money would get the money from the rich families. So it was like a tit for tat.
I was going to say, what you really mean is that Americans now should literally go to England and find themselves some rich English people.
Maybe find a rich English person and see if they will fund your lifestyle. I have no idea.
English ladies and men.
But that was the thing. Because, like, the thing is like, when, and especially this was a part, this was an issue back then. If you came into new money, you were considered, people looked down on you. So, like, you're new money, you're like the nouveau riche. Like, we don't fucking like you. Like, go the fuck away.
It still goes on today. Trixie Mattel talks about it. It's basically wealth versus, what is it? Wealth versus
legacy?
No. It's something that sounds like wealth.
I mean, I think they should tax the old money and not tax the new money.
I mean, everybody should be taxed the same percentage, but it's...
Well, depending on how much you're getting taxed, that would suck if you're poor.
Not really. Like, if it's a percentage, like if everybody gets taxed 3%.
Oh, I see what you're saying. In that general
sense. If I make $10,000, you know, a year versus $10 million a year. But yeah, no, it's still a thing because, you know, as our wonderful Trixie Mattel became newly rich, she talks about how she'll go to these events where they have like old money and there's a clear distinction.
Yes. I mean, I'm sure that still, obviously that still goes on. And especially now I think it's more prevalent because there is, you know, we're pretty much in each other's, like up each other's asses every second of the day when it comes to social media and digital media and everything that we're exposed to. So we see it more now, but I love that every time I watch the film, I kind of get like something different out of it. And I noticed that we find out what happens, you know, how the parents were treating the kids. Cause I never really paid attention to that before, but basically the parents squander the money, which is why Thomas and Lucille have nothing. And I'm not saying that that is an excuse for their behavior. Obviously not, but.
You mean fucking your brother?
Well, and that's another thing too. So we're talking about like mental instability. She basically manipulated this entire situation since they were children. Like she manipulates him because he's younger. She gets him to do what she wants sexually. I think she was 14 and he was 12.
Yeah, he's 2 years old. 2 years
in that time frame, using sexuality to get people to do things. Crazy.
Oh, Lance.
Hey, I get it. It was their only power state back in the day. But when you're psychotic and using it at the same time, this is what happens. You end up fucking your brother.
Okay. Well, that's the twist. So if you guys didn't know that was the spoiler before, this is what it is. Because and most of the time when you're watching the film, you're like, oh, they're married. They're not really brother and sister. But that, I think, is probably the most pivotal part. Right before she shoves Edith off the balcony, and she's like... She's like, I knew it. You must be his wife. She's like, no, I am his sister. And she just shoves her off the thing. And I'm like, ah! Not Tom Middleton. So, you know, it is a powerful story. The film itself is just incredible. I feel badly that it's not more popular than it should be, simply because I know that so the length of the film is pretty long, and the movie itself plays like a novel. So if you are not akin to reading, or I don't really necessarily think it's a slow burn. It's very interesting, different facets, but I think a lot of people are just wanting something horrific the entire time. And while we do have these horrific moments, because when they hit you, especially with father being his face smashed in. And then they show it later too, even when he's on the autopsy table. And Doug Jones playing some of the ghosts, I think, is a great touch, and you can tell. Especially by the way they walk. So if you don't know which ghost Doug Jones plays, he does Lady Sharp, which is the mother of Lucille and Thomas, who's in the bathtub with the axe in her head. And he also plays Edith's mother as well. Mm-hmm. And so you can definitely tell that he's, you know his movements at this point. Guillermo loves working with him. He works on him with Pan's Labyrinth. He's the
eyes creature.
The eyes, yeah.
Just in case you're not watching.
Yeah, obviously. Oh, yeah, just kidding. And he's also, well, you know, I mean, most people, like, when I think of Doug Jones, I think of Hocus Pocus. Like, I mean, hello, who doesn't? So, anyway, but I don't know if I could deal with Emma Stone being Edith. I think Mia Wasikowska does an amazingly beautiful job playing Edith. Like, I feel like Edith is, she's not supposed to be, and I don't think in any sense of the word that Emma Stone is attractive. I think she looks like a little mouse. But like Mia Wasikowska, like she's not this amazingly, you know, sensual thing either, right? But she's, there's something so powerful and regal about her. And just her presence in the film, her fear, you feel it when she's afraid. And just watching her face when she's realizing, like, oh my God, these people are killing me, they're poisoning me, and I cannot do anything about it. And it's just incredibly heartbreaking. And so then we get to the ghosts and we get to the horror elements, and there's so many of them in the film. And I think that there was a good balance in this one. I have not seen The Devil's Backbone because we all know that I'm dyslexic and I have to watch it in Spanish, so it takes me some time. But I've seen, I do like Mama. I know he didn't direct it, but I think Mama's really good. I know he produced it, so he did have a lot of pull with that. And I do like The Shape of Water, believe it or not.
The Shape of Water was good, but again, it's one of those things where it's like, they advertise these movies as horror, and I guess there is like a Crimson Peak, I will say, I'll admit, is horror, but like Shape of Water wasn't really horror. Pan's Labyrinth is more of like a dark fairy tale.
That's more fantasy, I always thought, honestly. Yeah. Like a fantasy kind of, I mean, adjacent horror in the sense of the fantasy ideas, but that's like dealing with creatures that you don't understand. So, I mean, what you might see as horror, it might be everyday life for them, you know what I mean? So, like, the way I took it.
It gave me anxiety. I never finished it. I watched it up until the part where the family's about to get caught by the guy or something. Like right after he busted the nose in. I can't watch things like that. I was getting so much anxiety. I knew he was going to catch her and probably kill her. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. I'll never know because I didn't.
No, he does.
Oh, he catches her and kills her. And that's my thing. And I can't deal with that. Like, that's too much. Like, that's too real for me with my horror. I like it very, you know, that's probably why I don't watch Rape Revenge or any of that, because I can't, it's too much. It's too close to home. It is horrific, but is it something that I want to sit through and have a good time? And we always talk about this, like, I'm going to have a good time with my horror movies. And I think this is still a good time, especially the chisme. There's a lot of chisme in this. So, which we already said. So there's that.
Yeah, Lance. Well, I didn't give my opinion yet on the movie. Well, I'll go ahead and do that now.
Oh,
So I really liked the movie. It reminded me of, like, have y'all ever seen, what's that movie called? I don't remember.
Ghost.
No, it's a black and white movie. And it's about I think they're brother and sister. And they move into a house together and it's like haunted or whatever.
Mm.
I don't remember. But anyways, it's creepy. But it reminded me of like those old movies from like the 40s and the 50s where like it takes its time. And it, even though I knew the ghosts were kind of like on her side or like a word of warning the whole time, like they were really scary looking. I knew that they were kind of creepy. So I was trying to make sure that like Olivia wasn't around when I'd watch it. And of course she only peeks her head when the ghost comes out. I'm like, stop coming in here. But no, I really liked it. I like Mia Wachowski. I know I've heard her name before. I don't know exactly what she's done, but I thought she was great, which is why, like, I just, Emma Stone, I just, that movie she's in right now where she has the black hair and she plays like some figment made up creature or whatever. I don't know. I don't like the quirky. I'm just, you know, it's not, yeah, not for me. But the story itself was kind of generic. I will say, yeah, we had a small little twist of, oh, there actually are brother and sister. And I was like, gross, you know, I guess.
That was the horror.
Yeah, but it was a really good movie. It was very pretty. And the images, the imagery we got and the ghosts were horrific enough to warrant itself as a horror movie. And the violence was pretty horrific. The only thing I didn't like about the whole movie is in the beginning when they do the close-up of the ant eating the butterfly's eye. Looks super fake. I was like, ugh, this CGI offends me. But I didn't know why there was a bunch of moths everywhere, I guess. I know. So I don't know if these things have meaning or if we're just trying to be pretty.
I thought she mentioned something about the moths earlier on. Remember when she's looking at the butterflies in the park?
She does. So the moths eat the butterflies. And so that was, obviously this is a whole metaphor. And that's why I think this is such a gorgeous film, because it really plays like a novel. There's so many images that are metaphors for something else. obviously the moths represent death, right? But they also represent as a predator. And then you have the butterfly being Edith coming in to be consumed by the moths that are Thomas and Lucille. And the sad thing about this and what makes it a love story is that Thomas really does love Edith. He chooses her because he falls in love with her and he wants to be with her. But every time he brings a wife in, they slowly poison her, get her money, kill her off so that Thomas and Lucille can just be in.
Well, also you got to remember is this is the first one that he actually picked, because she makes a comment about that where you picked this one, where yeah. I guess normally she's the one that picks him. So he can't fall in love. So there's no ideal process of him picking her for whatever reasons.
Yeah.
And I think she realized that when, like, she's like, oh, wait, you actually are into this one.
Mm-hmm. And obviously one of the scariest parts of the film is after, you know, Edith and Thomas spend the night at the post office after we see his butt and they come home and she like fucking slams the pot down. She's just insane. And you don't really know before you know what the issue is, what her fucking problem is, except for maybe the fact that they're not brother and sister. Like, why is she so upset? And when you find out they are, and the maddening, heartbreaking moment where she kills him and stabs him in the face.
That was gross.
And then she realizes, she stabs him in the eye, ladies and gentlemen. And then when she realizes what she does, and she's just a fucking wreck. And that's where, and it's like, oh, you're just so like, and it just comes out of nowhere. Because I didn't really think that he would die. I thought he would have to answer for, you know, the things that he's done, because he's a party to this as well. I'm not going to say that he's not a piece of shit, but I just, oh my God. Also too, that he mentions the fact to Lucille that, which is what bothers me about Thomas the most, is like, I love Edith, but we can all be together. Let's just leave all of us. Like,
oh yeah. The first throuple.
Yeah. And I'm like, so, And to answer your question, Mikey, Mia Wasikowska, most of you will know her as Alice in the Alice in Wonderland films, the Tim Burton ones. She's also in Stoker, which I love Stoker. If you still have not seen Stoker with Matthew Good, it is the most fucked up movie you'll ever watch. Nicole Kidman's in it as well. She's also Jane Eyre, among many other films. So she's a pretty big actress. But again, I don't want to say she's a plain Jane. I don't think she's unattractive. Do I think she's...
She definitely has a porcelain look, for sure.
Yeah, she looks like a doll sort of thing. And yeah. Then you have Jessica Chastain, who I think is just so gorgeous and beautiful. And I love Jessica Chastain in The Help. She's one of my favorite movies with her. She's just amazing. And I think that, like, what an amazing past this entire thing is, right? Like, it's just such a beautiful thing. And if you want, oh, she's also in Only Lovers Left Alive. And one of my favorite vampire films, also starring Tom Hiddleston. And Tilda Swinton. So if you haven't seen that one,
are you talking about Jessica Chastain or
Mia Wasikowska?
Okay.
Yeah, Mia Wasikowska.
She does really good in this kind of role, because even though, like, I don't mean this in like a shady way, but like, she has like kind of a plain lip to her, but she's also very pretty without makeup, which you can have someone really pretty with makeup and take the makeup off and you're like, oh. and she, I mean, I haven't really seen her with makeup, because, you know, I've seen bits of Alice in Wonderland. She kind of has the same thing where she doesn't really wear makeup. So like in the time period where they didn't really wear that much makeup, she fits perfectly in being like a beauty in this time.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And she's, you know, the hair, the aesthetic, the outfits, talk about the outfits. My God, the dresses.
The costume design, like, it was so good. And those things are so expensive to duplicate or replicate. My only other concern with the visuals is sometimes Homegirl's hair extensions were a little too dark than the rest of her hair. So.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's going to be some issues with some of the whatever, because they spent $55 million and made $74.7 million. So they spent a pretty penny on this movie. And in fact, when they built the house, they actually had to tear it down right after the movie. So I can imagine building this elaborate, gorgeous, beautiful mansion, and then right when you're done filming, boom.
Yeah, that's not much of a win money-wise for a movie. I mean, at least you got it back, but at the same time, you almost broke even.
Like, well, you know, and that's the thing too. I don't know if it was to its detriment to market it as a horror movie, because I know that it was marketed as a horror movie, but at the same time, if you'd marketed it as something else, more people probably would have been, you know, because this would be something like anybody watching Lifetime, like my mom would love this movie, right? I mean, she likes these dark things, right? But I mean, whatever. And then obviously it went up against a lot of shit in October. It went against Scott's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, Goosebumps, which the Goosebumps movie was such a hit with the kids, the Jack Black one. I Spit on Your Grave 3, not so much, but another Paranormal Activity, Ghost Dimension, and then some other indie hit films being Curve, Bone Tomahawk, the Exorcism of Molly Hartley, Tremors 5, A Christmas Horror Story, Tales of Halloween, Deathgasm. So there were some really good indie films as well that I went up against. But honestly, like, if you have a Paranormal Activity movie and Goosebumps, like, as horror, the horror of the month, like, I don't really see a lot of people going after this one. Just because Paranormal Activity is like a Blumhouse favorite. Mikey, you'd like them, so.
Oh yeah, I love them. There's only one that I didn't like, and it's a stupid one that they did for Paramount Plus.
Oh yeah, I still haven't seen that one. But honestly, they're not, I do like Paranormal Activity. I do like them.
Yeah.
But the rest of the year you had Victor Frankenstein, Human Centipede 3, The Lazarus Effect, The Visit, Krampus, Sinister, We Are Still Here, The Black Hood's Daughter, The Witch, Insidious 3, Southbound, speaking of, Green Room, Hellions, The Invitation, The Gift, Turbo Kid, The Final Girls, Bite, Darling, Avis Possession, Circle Room, Room, Maggie, Knock Knock, Hell House, LLC, Stung, The Gallows, and The Devil's Candy. So we had a lot of good indie flicks, but not a lot of good. I think that Krampus and Victor Frankenstein were probably the biggest movies that year as far as horror goes.
I don't think Victor Frankenstein was even that big. Krampus, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the Harry Potter one, right?
Yes.
The Victor Frankenstein one?
Because, yeah, they were talking about Hugo being Harry Potter. Why can I? Daniel Radcliffe? Radcliffe? Jesus. Okay. Yeah, but I liked it. I love Sinister. Oh, Sinister was really good. I think Sinister sort of overcrowded everything that year. That was fucking scary.
Yeah, I think Sinister was probably the biggest, like, well, which Paranormal Activity came out that year?
The Ghost Dimension.
Oh, okay, never mind. Yeah, Sinister was probably going to be like the fright of the year, the one that everybody's like, it's so scary.
Yeah.
So you would say it's a low on the totem pole of horror for the year?
Me or Aid?
Mostly Aid.
I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for the.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
It was a good year for horror.
Actually, not a bad year for horror.
Well, actually, now I'm like, I'm getting concerned because I think this was Sinister Part 2 and not the first one.
Boo.
So if it was Part 2, then I'm joking. Retract my further statement because, yeah, the first one came out. So this is Part 2 I'm talking about. Just kidding. Anyways, I forgot to add the two. So
see, this is why I don't trust her notes.
Yeah, you know
or
what?
Look at them.
You don't look at them anyways. But there was a huge, like, there was a good cast in this. The movie itself is great. I would recommend watching this multiple times because you're not going to catch everything. And that's the thing. Like, every time I watch it, I see something different that I adore. And so if you're going to watch this movie, it's actually streaming right now on Netflix. You don't even have to pay for it. If you already have your Netflix, go ahead and watch it. Watch it a few times. Don't just sit there on your fucking phone because you're going to miss everything. And then you're going to be like, what the hell am I watching? So.
It's pretty engaging. I'm the biggest offender of being on my phone when a movie's on, but it was engaging.
Okay. All right. And Lance, you liked it?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of those movies where if it's on, you watch it most likely. If you're going to go out of your way, you might, you know, to me, like, but I mean, if you're going to go on Netflix, yes, you might. I don't know. It's definitely one of those movies, like, if it's on and you have a chance to watch it, I would. You know what I mean? But other than that, it's whatever.
Yeah.
That review gave me no information of how you felt about the movie. So, I would give it a good 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5 myself. I enjoy this movie. Every time I watch it, I'm enthralled. I love the costumes. I love the way they speak.
Yeah.
I love just the relationships and their interactions with each other. Like, everybody's just so, it's just a well shot, well done film. And so, you know, for the time, because it is 2 hours long.
Yeah, that's the only reason why it's not a 4 out of 5 is because it's a little
it's a little long. And I can see because they have to go from New York to, you know, England, and that's why I think there's a huge disparity of how the colors are and the filters over the whatever.
What was the point with the dog? I mean, yeah, it was cute. It's called a papillon, which is butterfly in France, but that's it. That's all that it contributes to the movie.
I think it only because it used to be the dog for the woman before him.
So it's like a mystery. And they thought they killed it. Yeah.
A mystery that was never solved.
Well, no, we realize that it belonged to one of his old wives because she finds the picture with the papillon sitting on the lap of the woman that he killed before her. And he even says in the beginning, he's like, I left it out in the cold. I thought it would perish. I can't believe it's still alive. So that poor little dog.
It shows you that he had heart, though, in the beginning, if you think about it, because he couldn't even kill it. He just lit it for it, you know, he left it to die, but he couldn't kill it himself. Like, he could have just, like, shot it or, like, stabbed it.
Yeah, you know? That does reveal who Thomas is, because Thomas is not the one who's killing these women. It's Lucille.
Yeah.
Right? Lucille killed their mother. Lucille's killing the women. She's the ringleader. And I'm not saying that he's not privy to this. He definitely is, because he's the one luring these women in, right, with his bullshit and his charm. And you know
what?
Yeah,
you know, he's a baronet. Yeah, I know. You guys are so good at that. And so I am like, okay, I sort of like, I feel for him, and I kind of, and I did a tiny, this little fraction of me always thinks every time I watch this, I'm like, well, maybe they could be happily ever after.
No, that's like me with Sarah Michelle Gellar, and I Know What You Did Last Summer. Maybe she'll make it this time. She never does.
Oh my god, the longest tilting. Maybe next time she will. We'll see.
Next viewing. I would just like to close off my make a closing statement, because I love moths. I think moths are beautiful. Moths are talented and amazing. Butterflies, you know, I think of butterflies just like Aretha Franklin thinks of Taylor Swift. Gowns, beautiful gowns. That's it. Moths do not eat butterflies, everybody, in real life, whatever this movie says. So just putting it out there.
Well, that whole speech was sort of contradictory, because she says that they don't have butterflies. They only have these moths, right?
And that's perfect.
And then she's like, and then Mia Wasikowska asked her, well, what do they eat? She's like, butterflies. And that's when she puts the butterfly down with the ants. So, I mean, it's a metaphor. It's like a whole, and that's the whole thing. But the ending, we realize that the novel that Edith is publishing is the novel that she's just lived. And that's Crimson Peak. Ah!
And it's all a metaphor for her first blood.
I just love it. But I'm an English major, and that's probably why I love it. But anyway. So with that, I think we're coming up to the end of the episode, so we're going to have to say our goodbye soon.
Bye.
Wow. Mikey, we need to promote Noelia, so please let us know how we can do our Indiegogo and what we can do to make sure that this film happens, because you are its creator, Mr. Del Toro. Give it to us.
Oh, that was racist. But yeah, we have Noelia coming up soon. We have an Indiegogo that, as of this recording, probably has about maybe 11 days left in the campaign. So if you want to support us and help us make a super cool movie, go to indiegogo.com, or you can just go to Facebook, look for Noelia in parentheses film, and you'll see the group. I don't know the exact link to the Indiegogo, but it's Indiegogo. It's called Noelia, a Christmas horror film. So do that. It's also on our Instagram and our Facebook. We've been resharing, so feel free to look on there. You can find me on Instagram at Whore and a Half Shell. You can find Adrian on Instagram at Pathologically ADE, or you can follow Lance on Instagram at Zombie Versus Hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, guys. And again, I have Noelia also posted on my Instagram. So if you want to go on there and contribute and share with us, you may do so. So also, if you want to follow us or the podcast, you can follow Slashers Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, as well as Mutant Goons from Beyond, both Instagram and Facebook. You can support us monetarily as well on patreon.com/slasherspod, or get some Valentine's swag for the one you love at slasherspod.redbubble.com.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe we have like a ball gag with the mutant goon on the front of it. I don't know. You'll have to just go on there and check. I just want to say thank you guys for joining us. Sorry about last month. And any final thoughts before we leave?
I'm excited for next week. It's my episode, and then it's Lance. So we'll see what happens for that ride. But
that's true. Well, the thing is, Lance has 2 weeks to figure this out. So we will see how long he procrastinates before he fucking gets it
He'll
done.
Pick a movie 2 days before.
Won't we be in California for that week?
Perfect. We're doing it live.
Ah, yay. Okay. So, oh God. So, well, then you better have a fucking movie by then, because I'm not fucking waiting around. Okay.
Maybe I'll start to talk to Doug and Yahira about it and see what they want to do.
I think you should. That's actually a really good idea. Oh my God, did we just get a good idea? That's exciting. Okay. So sometimes with that, I love you, my boo-boos. Goodbye and good day.
Bye.
Die.